Good morning. Welcome to our roundtable panel for this Friday. It is the 6th of May. It is a very, very lovely day, and we welcome you to our program this morning. Let me introduce you to our panel, and then I'll introduce you to how you can be a part of our conversation, and then we'll actually get into our conversation. We've got some good stuff to talk about. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, sir.
And good morning to you, sir.
How are you?
I was talking to Rich Honan as we came in about Thomas Jefferson and his contributions. And George Mason and his contributions. And like that.
Excellent.
Yeah. Who just dinged? Somebody dinged it.
I don't know. I'm not sure. Rich, are you anything you want to add to that?
No, I'm good.
Okay, very good. Rich Honan is here, a corporate attorney and a roundtable regular, and we're very happy for that. Also, the director of the journalism program at UAlbany. Is here, Rosemary Armeo. Good morning, Rosemary.
Good morning. I'm good, too.
You know, that is such a great introduction for Rosemary. In the old days, we always used to say internationally known, investigative journalist and all that. But you know, the credibility factor was saying the head of the journalism program. Really indicates, don't anybody give us, baloney here.
I'm the head because other people more qualified would rather have their fingernails pulled out than deal with the state bureaucracy.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to switch? Do you want to switch seats?
No, we're having microphone troubles.
I have a pill for that. That's one of those jokes that doesn't work on the radio at all.
I get it.
All right.
I think Rich is flirting with me over my flagging microphone.
I think he is flirting with you.
No, I was telling Rosemary. I thought of Rosemary at 5:30 this morning because
of all the women he knows.
Yes, because I was working out at the gym, listening to the live version of Paradise City. And I know you're a fellow GNR fan, so
it's true.
All right, I'm going to go with that, but we'll probably fix that during the break. Okay. Good morning and welcome. Roundtable at WAMC.org if you would like to join in on the conversation. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Okay, here are the stories up for bid today. Paul Ryan says he has thought about it and thought about it and thought about it and thought about it, and he's just not ready to endorse Donald Trump. In an extraordinary rebuke of his party's presumed nominee, Paul Ryan, the nation's highest-ranking elected Republican, said Thursday that he was not ready to endorse Donald Trump. Mr. Ryan's announcement represented a split among Republicans not seen in at least half a century, and it came only 2 days after Mr. Trump said he would unify the party after essentially clinching the nomination with his victory in the Indiana primary.
Okay, me. First, I just want to say, I've been saying that Donald Trump, under the right circumstances, could be the president. I thought so. I'm beginning to think maybe not. Maybe not so much. And I'll tell you why. Because, you have blowout elections. Somebody wins by 5 points. It's called a landslide. And it's called a landslide in this country. Now you have this rogues gallery, right? Maybe that's the wrong word. I didn't no mean to be disrespectful. You have the Republican speaker. You have John McCain, of all people, coming out and saying he wasn't sure he could win his Senate election in Arizona if this guy was the head guy. You have Papa Bush and Junior Bush and Jeb Bush, the whole Bush dynasty, as they say in England, or dynasty, as they say over here, against them. That they're going to pull a lot of Republicans out of there. Now, on the other hand, nature abhors a vacuum, and maybe a Trump, quote, revolution brings in some centrist, moderate Democrats who would not have otherwise voted for the Republican candidate. But right now, I think it looks very bad for Trump.
Rosemary, you go on first.
I don't think it means a thing. I am amused at how people I used to think of as mean-spirited and odious I wouldn't want in office now look pretty decent. Ryan, Bush's, they all look good compared to what's there now. I don't think their endorsement means anything. We're talking about his supporters were among those who had contempt for the establishment. So what do they care? The establishment is doing exactly what they thought they would do, is turn aside a man who they think is different.
We'll get to Rich in a second, but I don't really understand. I still don't understand. If you got a guy who had a chance of winning, and I think, unlike Cruz, Trump had some of that going for him. Cruz could not win because he couldn't get the middle. The middle was out. Okay, so John sends us a letter right now, and he thinks the whole thing's a fix. He says, Trump will give motherhood an apple pie speech. Ryan will declare him presidential, and they will march off arm in arm.
Richard, yeah, you're nodding your head.
He's right. Eventually, yeah. I agree with Rosemary. I don't think it means all that much. I think that
Doesn't it mean that the party's hurt, though?
Of course the party's hurt. But the only two guys who had a chance of winning the nomination, truly, were Cruz and Trump.
Right.
And they both ran on the idea that the Republican elected officials and the Republican hierarchy has done an awful job. So this was going to be an awkward conversation after whoever
it's
won.
It's true.
Right?
It's true. But they did. You're right. But they did support. They swallowed their bile. Have you ever swallowed your own bile in the middle of the night? They swallowed their own bile.
No, wow, that was a weird detour right there. But okay. Well,
I don't know. For me, it was about 4 minutes ago, but that's all right.
Okay. No. But they swallowed their own bile, and they supported, many of them supported Cruz. They could take Cruz, but they couldn't take Trump. And they hated Cruz.
Well, I don't understand how that changes your whole evaluation from he could win to now I have a
doubt. I think Alan's saying, but they couldn't swallow enough bile to actually accept Trump.
Yes.
They got there with Cruz.
What will that mean for him?
Well, I think it's going to mean a big loss. You know, we have people who are really sort of marginal in some of these districts, like Ms. Stefanik up in the North Country there. This has got to be a very difficult choice for her as to whether to support Trump. She says, as I read this morning, that she'll support the Republican nominee. But if just a handful, 5% walk away in closely contested districts, you lose.
See, I think Ryan is showing. I hear what you're saying, but I think Ryan is showing. Really, first of all, he's showing common sense. What, he's not sold on Trump? Hey, guess what? Join the rest of the party. The other part is, I think he's showing remarkable political acumen. He's saying, look, I'm not there. He's not saying I'll never get there. He's saying I'm certainly not there yet. All right. He also understands exactly what Alan says. He's got all these down ticket races, and he has to. It's a balancing act, and he's doing it very well. He has to show enough distance so that the presence of Trump doesn't kill those races, but he has to show some unity. And at the end of the day, you know, he will bring them. The other thing is he's telling Trump, listen, you know, when this thing's over, you go back to your supermodel wife and your private jet, and I have to pick up the wreckage of what is left. And then Trump comes back, Joe, and says, dude, you caused the wreckage, okay? The wreckage is not from me. I am here because of the wreckage.
He does say, Mr. Ryan, and you're absolutely right in what he said, he also said that the bulk of the burden on unifying the party will have to come for our presumptive nominee. I think
he's pushing Trump to do something to step up.
Yes.
I think that's a very good analysis.
I think the first letter was exactly right. I think they are going to, they'll at some point be marching off into the sun. It'll be a beautiful relationship, and they'll march off into the sunset.
Well, remember who Trump Trump is, and remember who Ryan is. Ryan's got his own problems. He's got this severe, remember Boehner? He's got this severe split in his own conference between the conservatives and the moderates.
And that could get worse.
It will get
Trump
worse.
That's right,
because the moderates tend to be from the split districts.
Right.
And they are the ones who will have, you know, more trouble. And he knows that. Secondly, when Ryan said he couldn't support Trump at this time, Trump, instead of making nice, came back to Ryan and said, "And I can't support Ryan, you know, at this time."
He said, "I'm not sure I can support you either." And in a way, how could Trump support the guy who is the basis of what Trump ran against? Mm-hmm. I think they are both setting the scene. I think it's a well done negotiation. I really do. And I think they'll have a couple of conversations. Not going to happen the first time, but they'll continue to talk. I bet by the end of it, they will be more on the same page than you think.
Well, you may, by
the convention in right. Cleveland, I predict.
You may be right. We've heard from Ryan, who says, I am about as far left as I can go politically. That said, I have never been prouder of conservatives for trashing Trump. I am terrified of Trump. As a historian, this all reeks of Nazism to me. Conservatives coming out, at least for the time being, not embracing this narcissistic, bigoted bully means a lot to me, even though I know they may end up embracing him in the long term. See, I have to tell you, I have a little bit of difference of opinion here. I, you know, you put a bullet in a gun and put the gun at my head and say, okay, you have to vote for either Cruz or Trump. I think Trump becomes, because he has some of the middle of the road sensible things about him, becomes more. He does.
So the bullet to your head, you know, about to go into
your
head.
That's not the choice anymore. That was the choice.
You're saying bullet trigger.
No, no. She's saying that's not the choice. That was the choice, and Cruz lost. Look, I said after 2012, I don't think this country ever elects another Republican president anyway, just because of the electoral math. So, you know, the conversation for the Republicans, this is all crazy.
Paul Ryan put it right. He said Trump did the work. He got the votes. He deserves the nomination. And no matter what we think about him, that's true.
That is true.
If Ryan was running right now, they would have a darn good chance of winning the presidency.
No, I don't think.
I don't think so. Because
said that about all the other. Oh, he's a golden boy. Marco will get it. Jeb will get it.
No, none of them got it. No, they didn't get it because of who was voting in the primary. The conservative element comes out, and a very small number of conservatives, in terms of vis-a-vis the electorate, and elects the conservative guy. But if the moderate, the Kasichs, the so-called moderates, don't save your letters. Don't write me that Kasich isn't a moderate. But for the perceived moderate, can't get to first base because of who's voting in the primary.
Presumed moderate.
Yeah, presumed moderate.
By the way, if NPR is going to eliminate stupid words, I would like to nominate down ticket. I hate that. Or narrow path to whatever it is they want. How did these become such cliches?
Well, I agree with you about down path, but I don't agree with you about down ticket. I'll tell you what's going to happen.
I like down ticket. It's kind of political jargonish.
Well, it is, and
a lot of people, it's wonkish.
A lot of people are going to show up in this election because they don't like Trump, for example, and people who would not vote ordinarily. And then they're going to say, what are all these other names? That's down ticket.
I really think that we're not looking at this right. We're not looking at it in the context of this extraordinary year. The only evidence, the only person who has changed voters coming out or staying home, not Bernie Sanders, it's Trump.
That's correct.
He has brought people to the polls who have never been there before. That's so right. To say, oh, there so-and-so will come out in the general election— No, the wait is really, it's hard to get people to the polls.
Okay, yes. But on the other hand, it's really beginning to look like Christmas. It's beginning to add up for the Democrats. So now you see Trump coming out with this stupid, that's the best way I can put it, after having trashed Hispanics, calling Mexicans rapists and everything else, and now puts a Twitter out there that says, with him and eating tacos or something like
Happy
that.
Happy Cinco de Mayo. The best taco bowls are made in Trump Tower Grill. I love Hispanics.
And it was immediately countered by Republicans putting out video of Bill and of Hillary eating fried chicken at a black radio station in Louisiana.
I don't know why. Why would Republicans do that now?
Because they're saying, oh, it's the same. It's pandering. It's the same kind of pandering. And it isn't, because none of the Clintons have done anything like, say, let's send all the blacks back to Africa. That would be the comparable thing. But in the way we do politics now, which is all image and flash, it looks comparable. It looks the same. And you have another overriding thing. This is more like the media project. But the media now is going to try to make Trump and, I presume, Hillary, the Democratic candidate, look the same. So that will lower Hillary and raise Trump so that it looks like you're trying to be fair and treat them the same.
Right.
And it isn't the same. What Trump does is not at all what Clinton does, but it will look the same.
You know, it's something that you teach in your classes, and I know it's terrific.
Fake balance.
Yeah, right. Fake balance. Yeah. What's the other side of the story? There always has to be the other side. What was the other side of the Holocaust? What was the other side? I mean, it's ridiculous.
What's the other side of the West, of Gaza? And Israel, all the time.
So Nate Silver is quoted.
Apologizing.
Which
This is funny.
I thought it was funny. He said there was a mea culpa.
That was yesterday.
For insisting that Trump would not win the nomination.
That was yesterday. We talked about it, didn't we?
No, we didn't.
No, we didn't.
I did. I remember.
Well,
okay.
You talk all the time, Alan. Right, you probably did.
That's funny.
All right, Alan talked about it once, so we won't. Okay. We won't go on. Never mind.
Let's go on.
No, that's all right.
No, I insist.
So what? Well, we only have 2 minutes, so go to some letters.
Okay, letters.
You're really not going to tell the listeners? We're going to get letters saying, what was it that Nate Silver said? We didn't hear Alan.
For the people.
I didn't predict that the Republican Party would lose its effing mind. he tweeted, which says here he tweeted it on Thursday.
Oh, I know why I got into such trouble, and it's because I was arguing this out on the media project yesterday with Rex and whoever else was there.
Ira.
Yes, yeah. And I was arguing that poor Nate, you know, the New York Times establishment, the leaders of the New York Times, really do not want Trump to win.
But they hate Hillary.
Well, yeah, but
they hate Hillary.
Just read Maureen Dowd if you have any doubt.
They're gonna endorse Hillary. There's no question about it. Okay, so you know, I've always argued that the people who write the columns and the people who write the news columns are somewhat influenced by what the ownership wants. I've argued this with virtually everybody, including you,
yes.
Rosemary. And so here comes Nate, and Nate had it wrong. You know, he was the guy, and he's supposed to be the numbers guy, not the philosophy guy.
He's amazingly accurate, too. So this was a glaring error.
Yeah. Well, the biggest number I think everybody left out was the 8 million more people who voted in Republican primaries to date.
That's right.
And why would he have predicted that? Because you base your models on what's happened
right,
in the
exactly.
past.
No, that's right.
Which is
right.
why it scares me. And we have no idea of how many Democrats, presumed Democrats who haven't voted, who haven't participated, will participate now in the same way these Republicans.
Well, maybe this will motivate them.
So once again, I want everybody to go back to yesterday's New York Times front page, the four models. The first three were how Hillary had to win. The fourth model, which is what Trump would win. And the amazing thing, just what you said, Rosemary, mm-hmm. He'll win if more people come out and vote for him.
Yeah, Bernie's line. Yeah.
We're going to take a break. We will hold it there for a moment. We'll come back. We have other stuff to talk about. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Alan Chartok, Rich Onan, and Rosemary Armeo make up the panel this morning. We will be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Alan Chartok, Rich Onan, and Rosemary Armeo make up the group. And we welcome your letters, roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC, where we get letters like these.
Richard says, I'm sorry, Richard says, Trump's basic strategy may be the idea that nobody ever went broke by underestimating the intelligence of the American people. And Robert says, Silver's sentence. Silver was given a 12-year sentence, but without a stated minimum number of years to be served. Am I correct that this means that he will be eligible for parole after completing only one-third of the 12 years? If so, that was a sneaky gift from the judge. I think the judge was very tough on him. However, I did read the article in either one of the tabs of the New York Times in which they showed the prison where he is expected to go, the federal prison, and it really looks like a great country club. It really does. They have town meetings and things like that, you know, in it.
Still isn't what he's used to.
No.
He got badly punished. And if in one-third of a sentence, he's still suffering from cancer, and he is an old man.
If it was a week.
Is it so terrible that they let him out?
Yeah. No, if it was a week in prison. I mean, look, Pete Berard wanted to make a point of this. I don't think he got any joy out of it either.
No.
But he needed to make a point that these guys had to be held responsible for what they're doing. And
I'd
by the way,
pension be taken away. That galls me. $80,000 a year that we're going to continue to pay the old croc.
Yeah.
And by the way, it is interesting to see the Times Union's excellent work on the unfolding upstate Buffalo billions nonsense. They are really doing a good job on this. They deserve a Pulitzer for this. okay, so Rick says, good morning, Alan. Heck with the rest of you. Remember when John F. Kennedy gave a dinner at the White House for the Nobel laureates and said,
yes,
there's never been more intelligence gathered in this room except when Thomas Jefferson dined alone. Except Rich and I were talking about this before, And on his, we all know that on his gravestone, he did not want his service as president of the United States mentioned. He wanted University of Virginia, Declaration of Independence, and then the Virginia, whatever.
Declaration of Rights or something like
which
that.
Which was a predecessor to what he did later at the federal level.
Right.
But I want everybody to go to the George Mason Memorial in Washington, D.C. that is next to the Jefferson, which no one ever goes to. My daughter and I went to it a couple of years ago, and it's got a line from George Mason that's from 2 years before, like from 1774, and you see that Jefferson stole the entire preamble from that line.
He was a plagiarist?
Yes. In addition to everything
well,
else.
No, I think Jefferson...
I'm not dogging him. I think Jefferson... Mason deserves a little more credit.
Give him credit. But I think Jefferson was a brilliant man and represented the Bernie side of the party as opposed to the Hamiltonian establishment.
Yet never would have made it through right? Never would have made it through the primary process.
Nope.
And I'm not saying whether he deserved to or not, but I mean, you go. We talked about this. Go down through the list of those guys. None of them would have made it through the primary process.
Well,
is that good or bad?
Possibly
I don't know.
Washington would have
Made
it.
You know, everybody says that the guy still owned slaves.
Yeah, but that was not considered a bad thing then.
And remember who had the franchise.
Also, in a big swath of the country.
He also lost a lot of battles. In today's world, he would have been removed. I mean, he lost just about every battle for a long time.
You're one of those people who prefer war heroes who don't get captured.
I think the founders were amazing people, but I'm just saying, I don't know. You could find a lot of things to point out, whether it's Washington or Jefferson or whoever, that, and I'm not saying they're valid, but I don't know that they would have survived the 24/7 scrutiny of this year.
Just to have wooden teeth, he couldn't have survived. Like,
oh, I started that the last time, and did we get mail? Hold your mail.
Oh, yeah, they're aluminum, that's right.
Ivory and all the rest of it.
Mahogany. I thought they were mahogany. Mahogany's
wood.
Well,
they weren't wooden, and they were all the rest of it.
They were not porcelain. Okay, non-porcelain teeth.
This became the whole thing of the day.
I remember.
So Al called and wrote in and said, he did not, Trump, say all Mexican immigrants are bad. Review the full text. Ridiculous and hysteria to equate Trump with fascism and Aryans and such. And Ryan's opposition is that Trump is not conservative enough. And Rosemary, you wanted to answer this?
I got a lot of mail about that because I really hated his victory speech where he surrounded himself by his blonde daughters and daughters-in-laws. And it is an image, by the way, that was on television all the next day. It's in the Times Union today. It is a widely displayed image. I believe it's planned. This guy's a master of branding. And the objection to it is that this is a man who is anti-Muslim, anti-Hispanic, and he's posing with big blonde women. And he talks about winning with women. It's just odious.
Winning women with women. I'm so sorry.
He talked in his victory speech about, and I won the Latino vote, and I won this vote, and that vote, and I won the woman vote. I love winning with women.
No.
Please, it is important. It is not a low point in this show that I bring this up. If you think that the optics of Trump's campaign are not important, you don't know anything about the man.
I couldn't agree with you more.
But everybody. But couldn't you
say
it about everybody?
I can say it about everyone.
Well.
And I also comment about it for everyone, too.
And Adlai Stevenson. See, I'm the only one in this room who was old enough, to really remember
that's
this.
That's true.
Adlai Stevenson lost for three reasons. Four reasons. Number one,
he had a hole at the bottom of his shoe.
Yes, that was one of the reasons. He was running against Eisenhower, who saved the world, so forget about that.
Right.
That wasn't going to happen. He also didn't have a lot of hair. He was divorced.
People, optics.
He was divorced one time. You're a divorced man. That's the end. Not now. Three times or something like that, right? Yeah.
This is his third wife, two divorces. Yeah, that's true. Rockefeller... we could debate what kind of president he would make, but he put himself out of the running when he got divorced. Lost all kind of support at the federal level and among Republicans.
Eileen says, can you tell me how a man who has never held a political office, has no political experience, is not even an attorney, can be qualified or deemed qualified to be president? Aren't there any basic qualifications for this position? Does anybody remember Pat Paulson? That's what I thought of when Donald first tossed in his hat. Crazy times in the United States. The rest of the world is wondering how it could be. That last sentence is very important.
Oh, yeah.
The rest of the world is wondering how it could be.
Although, didn't Cameron just kind of reopen the door to making nice with Trump the other day?
Where, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Cameron gave a speech because Cameron, a year ago, had excoriated Trump for his anti-Muslim remarks. And Cameron said, you know, he's pulled off an extraordinary feat. And I still agree with my remarks of before, but, you know, we have to see what happens. You know,
it has to happen.
And then there's Putin.
Oh, Putin always had problems. They're buds.
Yeah, they're buds, yeah. We did that one. Okay. And Steven says, Republican insider was quoted on NPR, stated that if Cruz were a nominee, the election would be lost. If Trump were the nominee, the party would be lost.
The party was, first of all, if you're truly a Republican insider, I don't know what you're doing on NPR. Second, if you're,
nasty.
That was a shot.
It was a shot and a half.
The party was already lost. Trump was not the disease. He was the symptom. I mean, he was the wreckage didn't appear because of Trump. There was wreckage, and he stepped into it. Right. The party was lost. Now the good news for the Republicans, if not for the rest of us, is it turns out in the United States when a party reaches the nadir, the bottom,
Ralph.
It takes 2 years for the parties to switch sides. That's pretty much 2 years, right? Two-year cycle.
Wouldn't you say the wreckage and the party falling apart began in
2008.
So that's more than 2 years.
No. But think of that. 2008, the party gets massacred by Obama. Okay.
Right.
Fine. 2010, party retakes the House. Retakes the House.
I still think
2012, they lose again. 2014, they take the Senate.
Yeah,
2 years is about
the presidential
lifespan.
Elections. The Democrats come out in presidential elections.
They stay home in local elections.
Okay,
the electoral man. I'll say again. I don't know that the Republicans ever win again. I really don't.
Well, it could.
I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying
they're going to change their name to Whigs. You may be right. You know, this may be what we call a reorganizing election, you know.
Sure.
So that could happen. Panel, kindly go around the table and describe year three of the Trump presidency. I'm interested. No, you go figure it out. I will tell you this.
Most people will be looking at, at the end of the tunnel.
You say that. I mean, we've been looking towards 2017 for a long time. But I would, everybody says,
Did you get that?
Yeah. I did.
Slide little shot. You're going to look back and say, Barack, come back.
Would it be similar to the third year of a Jesse Ventura term as Minnesota governor?
Could be.
I mean, I'm serious.
Could be.
I mean, wouldn't that sort of be the...
Or Al Franken.
Could be. Or
well,
he could
no,
be
but
a
he
great
gets reelected.
Success. He could,
yeah.
Or he could be a great success.
Well, you know, Rosemary had said a while ago, can you imagine this guy on foreign policy or something like that? And I was thinking, you know, a couple of weeks ago when Obama came off that what could only be called the most disastrous foreign policy trip after he's not even greeted by the Saudis. He has to be kind of schooled a little bit by our friends, you know, in Great Britain for interfering. What they call it, a monstrous interference. And then he goes and lectures NATO about how, you know, you guys aren't really doing enough to ISIS, to fight ISIS. If God forbid Trump was elected and had that kind of trip, that's all we would hear about.
I would like to point out that I also was opposed to Obama for the same reason, no experience, not enough experience. Trump has no experience. Obama has not enough. And foreign policy is one of them. Yes. I think Hillary would have done a much better job.
Hillary was the Secretary of State while we were handing over the Middle East to Islamic fundamentalism.
Well, we didn't do that.
We tried hard. We tried to put Egypt in the hands of the Muslim Brotherhood, and Egypt had to stand up and say, no thanks, Barack.
We tried to support an actual election, the first ever in Egypt.
Okay,
to place Morsi in power. All right, go ahead.
Poor Al is trying to get in.
We always shut him out.
Oh, no,
never talks.
I want to go back to Rich for a moment. and ask him, because we have been away from him for a long time now, but I wanted to ask him a gun to your head question, honesty question.
Oh, another gun to your head.
Honesty question.
I don't like that term, but go ahead.
Honesty question. Okay. An honesty question different from a gun to head. Honesty question means if you lie, a lightning bolt will come out of the heavens and hit you in the head.
Okay.
That's different from a bullet to the head. Okay, so my question, therefore, is, who are you going to vote for, Rich? Are you going to vote for Trump or are you going to vote for Hillary?
Here's what I know. I know for a fact I'm not voting for Hillary, okay? I know that. I think Paul Ryan, you know, Paul Ryan said, you know, I'm not there, okay? I'm not saying I'll ever get there.
So you may stay home.
What I said before during the break, first of all, I live in New York. My vote is going to Hillary. Right? I mean, yes. No matter who I pull that lever, I could pull that lever for Gus Hall and Angela Davis.
Do you remember
Davis.
Ronald Reagan taking New York?
Pardon me.
I actually don't.
Yeah. Ronald Reagan won in New York.
But it doesn't matter because my vote's going to Hillary anyway. There's no circumstances under which I pull the lever for Hillary. The question is, do I pull it for anybody?
Let's pause there. Sure. We'll take a break. We'll come back and get into some more trouble. We'll be right back after this short break.
Support for WAMC comes from the Honest Weight Food Co-op, 100 Watervliet Avenue, Albany, New York. Specializing in local and organic produce, natural groceries, fine cheeses, locally raised meats, and ready-to-go organic meals, honestweight.coop. The Turning Stone Resort, offering accommodations, dining, spa treatments, golf courses, and a variety of live entertainment, turningstone.com. And the Hyde Collection, an art museum and historic house in Glens Falls, New York. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 5, and Sunday, 12 to 5. HydeCollection.org.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. And let's move on to some other stuff. Let's talk about the Hillary Clinton email issue. Some developments on that as of yesterday, where many people within the within her inner circle have been questioned over the last several weeks, though officials have said scant evidence that Clinton had malicious intent in handling of emails. Prosecutors and FBI agents investigating Hillary Clinton's use of personal email server have so far found little that the leading Democratic presidential candidate intended to break classification rules.
So there's the pivot.
Though they are still probing the case aggressively with an eye on interviewing Clinton herself.
No, there it is. There's the public pivot. Right. It's not. Did she break the law? Now
did
it's
she
did
break
she
the
break
law?
The law with intent? Oh, that's the first. Oh, Rosemary.
It's not the first time. We talked about it back
first
when
time
Petraeus
publicly.
Was when Petraeus was sentenced. Well, and the prosecutor in that case, and we discussed it on the show, said there's no criminal intent.
Well, what about the end of Law and Order? Every
no,
time?
The prosecutor said criminal intent is not an element.
No, he did say it. The prosecutor in the Petraeus case said there will be no indictment against Hillary Clinton because there's no criminal intent.
Well, wait a second now.
And
how
we discussed.
But this is the first time we've heard that discussed.
How many times have you seen the judge in Law and Order say ignorance of the law is not sufficient to dismiss.
Actually, in this law, there is you do have to be intending to hurt the United States.
Well, I agree with you about one thing.
I'm
going
to take issue
happen.
On that, and I have to
You're
parse
the lawyer.
I'm going to disclaim by saying I'd have to parse the law, but there's a difference between the intent in meaning for secrets to go to China, which I don't think she meant, or the intent on not following the policy. And I don't know which the law says, but I'm just saying that's a significant. I mean, now and plus, you know, they're starting to wind up. Now they're starting to have the voluntary. So they're going to wind it up. When's the Democratic convention?
End of July. Summer.
Okay. So at some point in the next month or so, you're going to hear the, you know, we've concluded our investigation. There's no, we found not enough to go forward.
The FBI is under pressure to appear independent from a Democratic administration of which Hillary Clinton was a high official. And so I think they're going above and beyond. That's great. Hillary herself has said, fine, I'll come and talk to you. Her top aides have talked. They should talk. There's nothing damning about a criminal investigation until you end up with the final charge. And I don't think you're going to see that here.
Ed tells us that he's turning off the radio. I don't read his letter because it has nasty character assassination stuff, so I don't read those letters.
Oh, but he doesn't like because I'm defending.
No, not
no,
you.
No, no, it's oh, not you. It's you. No, it's me.
I like when you're on. I get deflected.
It is. I think he's wonderful. And I'll tell you something right now. Ed says, I'm not interested in hearing this side. And I'm telling you right now,
Ed,
as long
listen.
As I breathe a breath, Rich will be here, Rosemary will be here, and all the people who say that they turn the radio off because they don't want to hear what's being said, the heck with you. I mean, otherwise, it's not worth having this radio station, well, period.
Alan, at first, thank you. I appreciate that. I will say, I do understand, however, that there are times when you feel like the world is going crazy and you just want to hear, you know, am I the only one? Are there other people who actually agree with me, or am I the only one going nuts? And so I can understand, look, there's times when I go home and, you know, I'll leave work early and I'm just, all right, can I just turn on the 5 on Fox and see if like there anybody else is crazy or if it's just me? And so I can understand why people want to, you know, kind of get reality checks, you know listening here and
no,
listening
to
like-minded
check.
People.
That's just nasty.
Well,
I'm sorry. It's just nasty.
I appreciate that you have me here.
I don't want him
here,
on my radio station,
you know,
and I'm turning it off right now. Listen, Ed, and I'm telling you now, Ed, I'll bet you're still listening.
I listened to right-wing radio
for
6 months before the last election with Mitt Romney, and I was convinced Romney was going to win. I was so surprised, like many Republicans were, that he did so poorly.
You got to listen. The great thing is you got to listen to right-wing radio now because they're
insane. They're just crazy.
I mean, it was weird. They all openly went into the tank for Cruz.
Yep.
You know, right. You know, and you know, I stopped. And I was like, all right, so I'm done listening because you know you're not going to hear anything interesting. But they're just wandering out there in the wilderness.
They're
more polite.
Beck was introducing
I got somebody mad at
events. I know it's really
Michael
crazy.
They
it's
just
very
don't
fun
know what
to listen
do.
To.
I got somebody mad. Please tell Alan to shut up.
Tell who? Alan?
Alan, me. Tell Alan to shut up. They didn't like that last thing, apparently.
Oh, too bad. Maybe it was Ed.
That's just too bad. Yeah. Who's the new guy putting Rosemary in our place? He is so well informed and has actual facts stop her crazy emotional.
Actually,
rants.
I took her place. I took her seat. So I left you with the bad microphone.
I apologize. Bad microphone, and now I'm being accused of what was it? Crazy rants.
Yeah. Well, you look.
Can you make that raspberry sound again in the microphone? Thank you.
Hey, speaking of that,
isn't that duplicative? Isn't any rant crazy? No. Okay.
No.
I don't know.
Okay. You were saying
a rant
Joseph.
Is a little out of control.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. If it's not crazy, it's basically a soliloquy.
I wasn't ranting; I was soliloquizing.
You did get a lot of supportive letters regarding what you were saying earlier about the Trump optics at the press conference.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah, that I feel pretty strongly about.
He
that
is good
not
at
a,
that. Yeah,
that is not a low point. That is not off the point at all. It is. It's part of how he's won. From that hat, the baseball hat, over the wig that says, you know, make America great. It's all about optics.
Mm. Wig?
They came before the Republicans.
Without the H. Okay.
Tom wants us to know that the Republican Party was lost with the election of Ronald Reagan. I don't think so. I think, in fact, Ronald Reagan was a very popular president, and these other guys are very different from Ronald Reagan. They are moving so far to the right that they've endangered their party.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And the funny thing, and it's funny that Trump gets yelled at by them for, you know, he's not a real conservative. Like this is somehow some imprecation that you hurl at somebody. You're not a real conservative. And he's like, I don't care.
Yeah, it's true.
8 million people say you're wrong. What do you want from me? Actually, 12 million people.
He earned it. He just did.
Yeah.
All right, Alan, keep going.
Oh, hi, panel. I heard a right-wing talk program last week where their listeners were fearing the same thing left-wing listeners fear, only the opposite reason. They are saying if Trump gets the nomination, few would support him and the Dems would win. We fear that if Hillary gets the nomination, the Bernieites will not support her and the Republicans win.
Yeah.
And William said, as a person who once turned off the roundtable after advice from Rosemary, I have not turned it off since, and that's from Bill.
Thank you, Bill.
There you go. Last thing you
want. I have some advice for you, Bill. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I have some advice, too. So, okay. So, let's see here. Okay, upside of Trump. An upside if Trump wins is the return to three branches of government and elevation of Senate and House debate and responsibility from Tony. I don't know. Not necessarily.
Well, he's saying if Trump is elected, that will happen?
Yes.
Well, I got to tell you.
Wow.
If Trump gets elected, if that doesn't galvanize the Senate and the House into trying to get things done in some kind of effective way, then nothing ever will.
Right. Let's see Trump's executive actions.
Too rich from Glenn. Would you pull the lever for Bernie?
No. No.
You wouldn't. And Donald says, plagiarism, come on about Jefferson. He used the best thoughts of the best thinkers of the time. He wasn't writing a term paper. And that's from Donald. I agree.
I you know what? He's right. I agree with that as well. But next time I will find that quote from George. I will read it and you will say, that sounds really familiar.
That's like what journalists say now. Well, that's not plagiarism. That's, what do you call it, when you pick from a whole lot of places and put it out.
It's just cross-referencing.
Jeff reacted to the letter about
aggregation.
Aggregation, yeah. It's not plagiarism. It's aggregation.
Aren't there minimal qualifications for president? Jeff reacted. Good morning, panel. Qualifications for president? After W, anything goes.
Oh man, wow. I was going to say a little bit later than that, but I'm not going to drop a bomb with 2 minutes left because Joe always gets mad when I do that.
It's actually 40 seconds, so please don't. Please don't. One more letter and we'll be done.
Perception is everything. Rosemary is absolutely right about the image Trump is projecting. Think about how most candidates in such pictures try to have a diverse group around them at such photo ops. This is a visual code and an ugly one to many of us.
Yep.
Hillary, by the way, has one of the most diverse staffs of all politicians.
All right. We're going to end it there today. And thank you very much for being with us. I just want to do one thing. Rosemary will not be with us for the next month because she is on assignment. However, so stop writing us and saying that we fired her. We haven't.
I'm going off. I'm returning.
Okay.
She'll be in June.
After the fun drive, Rosemary will be back.
Right.
So
we love your letters.
We love your letters. Yes. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll see Rich on Monday, I believe. We'll
Unless
see you back
you fire
on Monday.
Him.
We'll be.
Well, don't tell people in advance I'm going to be on, because then they won't even turn it on.
Oh, that's not true.
I think
true.
You like it when you're on. I think that's what happens and makes it interesting.
So you, me, Alan, back Monday? All right.
Boom.